Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I can't find my glasses, and I changed my outfit.
Jeff, welcome once again to the original Quarantine Radio.
Bam, 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 bam.
Original.
Let's get some girl to dance, and we'll throw some milk at her or whatever.
Yesterday, we went out for the first time in, man, a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, daylight hours, like, there were people out. We kept our distance. We decided to walk through Central
you
Park.
You sound like you went to the zoo.
Yeah, I saw cars. And, yeah, no, it was nice to breathe fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to...
How you say...
Yeah. Function
walk?
Like a
yeah.
human. Yeah. Anyway, we took two steps into Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there were people milling about. People were running. People were, playing with their kids.
People were doing normal activities.
Yeah.
We were, like, walking onto Mars.
Well, we did have,
we
you know...
We looked like we had never been... Like, we looked like scientists. We were like this was, like, all, like, an experiment.
It was an experiment. It was the yeah. first time being outside in quite a long time. So, two steps into Central Park,
mm-hmm.
we get recognized.
Get recognized.
Shout out to Sonny the Kid, who stopped his golf cart. He mm-hmm. works for Central Park.
Yep.
Stopped his golf cart and was like, it's the real. And we're like, hey, from behind our masks. And he's like...
But which, that's the weird thing.
What?
That it's hard to maintain, like, normal... non-social distance, like you want to have an actual conversation with the person.
Yeah, you want to dap someone up. You want to. Yeah, couldn't do it.
I'm a hugger.
Couldn't do that.
I'm a handshake into a hug. Couldn't do it.
No, outlawed.
Outlawed.
Done.
Would have gotten arrested.
Can't do hugs. I think till 2025. I thought I saw.
That is.
Can't hug till then.
Can't hug.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Daps though. 2023.
Coming back strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
2023, knocking 2 years off.
Then, so we made our way across the park,
mm-hmm.
and you called up our friends, Kat and Shinsuke,
yep.
who live on the east side, and you said, hey, if you want a social distance hangout, we're
no,
over
don't
here.
Don't make it sound like I'm like a dork.
No, no, yeah. What was the proper verbiage?
I was like, yo.
Hey.
Excuse me, guys. Will you come downstairs and stand 6 feet away from me?
I know. Well, anyway, it was nice. It was nice to see them from.
We stood less than 6 feet away from them. Did you notice that?
I tried to keep my distance, Jeff. You speak for yourself.
I was all up in their business. I was.
You were trying to get a hug.
Yeah. I was like, please,
not allowed.
I need human contact.
Jeff, before we get into today's podcast,
mm-hmm.
I just want to tell the people out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for all the feedback. It's been awesome to see you guys get excited for episodes with The Lox or Griselda or Black Thought or Issa Rae.
Keep going. Name all 70 people. 77 people or whatever.
No, it's way more than that.
Is it?
Yeah. If we've done... Let's do the math real quick. Quick maths.
Yeah.
If we've done 28 episodes at this point and you times that by 3...
Yeah.
That
you
is,
say times that like you're like in elementary school.
Yeah, it's 84.
Yeah,
84 guests.
84 guests. No repeats.
No repeats.
We're
not
doing,
yet.
I mean, we're
not
doing yet. Repeats soon.
Yeah.
I honestly don't
well,
care.
Because no, it's not. It's not about not caring. It's
well,
about,
no. It's about you want to put out a good episode
and you want to have conversations. Return guests do this for us. I think you get to see where they were a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then get their perspective now. And I think that's cool, you know?
Also, I don't feel like emailing.
for different guests.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning and I was just like, man, fuck this.
This.
Like, everything.
Oh.
I was, you know, like, I feel out of touch with what America's going through. And I'm just, like, smiling and yucking it up with different celebrities. I'm just like, who cares? But then I'm also just like... This brings happiness to people's lives, and maybe that's what matters.
So that's how I'm choosing to look at it. Like, what we're doing here provides someone out there. And people have told us, Jeff.
Yeah.
People have emailed, people have messaged us, people have tweeted at us that this does something and gets them through their day.
Yeah. But that also, I do feel insane.
Yeah. That is true.
So.
I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, you know, a side effect to all this thing is to... give us some structure in our day. You know, at least we get to talk to people outside, you know,
yeah.
through the phone. At least we get some sort of like work done. Imagine if we were doing one podcast a week like we used to do.
Oh, no. It's not even that. It's like even if I was to talk to like nurses or like somebody who was making ends meet.
Yeah.
However it was.
Agreed. So
it would still make me feel terrible. So I don't know that talking to people who are like really going through it would make me feel any better. But it's just like,
and for the record, we've tried to reach out to people and get them on the podcast who have been going through different circumstances.
Yeah,
you know, people who have had it, people who are working through it, people who are working in situations like that. It's not always easy to get them to commit to doing this.
Well,
in any event.
Yeah. Not to bring down the entire mood.
Today on the podcast. Oh, no. So I did want to mention, thank you to everybody who is really fucking with what we're doing.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank me, Eric. and if you guys really want to be a part of this, if you feel like we're doing something good, we're a month in.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some more of this.
Yeah.
You know, we have a stay-at-home thing until at least May 15th. It's going to go longer. We're going to do this as long as it takes.
Yeah.
We've made that commitment. If you want to make a commitment to us, the easiest way to do that and the most effective way to do that
is to go to patreon.com/itsthereal.
Yeah.
We're putting daily content out anyway, and then we're going to put some extra content out on Patreon.
Yeah. And what that means is you go there and you can commit a certain amount of money that rolls over every month. It could be $2 a month. It could be $3 a month. There are a lot of people who have done that. There's a lot of people who have done $10 a month and even more. But any little bit counts. It helps us create. It helps us help you guys. That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And today on the podcast, Jeff.
Today on the podcast is Chuck English.
Chuck English from the Cool Kids, a legendary, just visionary and excellent producer and just all around great dude.
But also just like, such good conversation.
This is a really good conversation.
Yeah, like, I think that Eric and I committed a long time ago to, we don't want bad conversations.
No.
Like, if
that's
if,
the point.
Yeah.
That is the point. We don't want to have repeat conversations too much. You don't want to have boring conversations. We're trying, pardon the pun, not to waste your time. You know?
And, there you go.
And not waste hours.
Yeah.
Jeff, then on the podcast.
Naomi Zeichner.
Naomi Zeichner, one of our closest friends, another visionary, and a true genius mind. She works at YouTube right mm-hmm. now, which is a very important place for all of us, certainly mm-hmm. In this household, and I think for the greater world, especially as we transition into less live events. We talk about that, and then Jeff,
then we talk to Asher Roth, who's got a new project coming out on April 23rd.
Shout out to Asher Roth, who reached out because he saw that we were doing something and wanted to be a part of it, and he is doing really great things, staying creative in this time, which is difficult, you know.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of people, like we've spoken to, can delay their projects, can decide not to put it out now. He is going through with it. He is doubling down and putting his art out there, and he has something to say. Shout out to Asher Roth. Jeff, now, let's call out to Los Angeles.
Yep.
Our friend,
Chuck English.
Yo.
Chuck!
What up?
What's happening?
What's the deal?
Yo.
What's the deal?
Chuck, listen, man. You're in Los Angeles. These are weird times everywhere, but how about like what the streets look like outside where you are?
In my neighborhood, I would say people are pretty smart. There isn't a lot of cars. You'll catch some jogging. But it's been pretty light as far as activity, given that I'm in like one of the bigger traffic areas in LA.
So if you go outside and you want to go like get groceries for the week,
yeah.
How far does that take you and how do you get there?
Luckily for me, I got a grocery store next door to my house.
Oh, super dope.
Yeah, it's like a little local meat market grocery store like that. I've been just shopping with them. Just, you know what I mean? I know they're small. Like Vons and Walmart and them, they don't really need my money like that.
Yeah.
No.
And then going into the grocery store is fucked up right now. Like, in a funny way. Because I don't think they thought this shit out. They got people social distancing spaces.
Yep, yep.
So you can stand in the aisle to wait to pay, but the aisle is where people got to get their shit from.
Yo.
So it's counterproductive. It's like you moving somebody out the way just to grab some paper plates, and then you moving somebody out the way to grab some salt. It's like you right in their face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I feel like people mean well, but a lot of this shit is stupid. Like, it's not really, like, it's not just gonna help.
Yeah,
yeah. Standing people 4 feet apart, and then everybody just still walking up in your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. All of it is bad. Everything is bad. I over here.
Oh shit! I haven't heard nobody just admit it.
Yeah, no.
I'm the only one. I'm the one like fuck this, man. I'm not trying to be all positive. It's like we're on punishment. I don't never been put on punishment by my parents and was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna write a script. I'm gonna paint. Or I'm gonna fucking, you know what I'm saying?
No, we were talking with A-Track and Dave One about the fact that, like, you know, Dave is like, I don't want your, you know, your good energy to you know, make me feel like I can go create something necessarily right now. He's like, I don't want to force that. I just want to.
It's a very uninspiring time. It's like exist. You don't have to be that thing.
Uninspiring. I don't even like. Before shit got really cracking, I had started watching Ozark.
Yeah.
And then when I realized, like, damn, we really in the house, and like I got nothing to do but watch this shit, I was like, I don't want to watch this no more.
Oh, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, I will say,
I don't like watching TV unless it's my choice. Like, forcing myself
to totally watch get TV that.
Because I don't got shit else to do. Is
totally get that.
Yeah, it feels like Clockwork Orange at that point.
But it is an excellent season of Ozark. I will say that.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, I just got the two. This shit is the white wire.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty.
Wait,
wild.
Do you want us to spoil it for you?
Nah. Tell me. You, because this shit is so unpredictable that I'm like, all right, yeah, don't tell me shit. I don't want to hear nothing, because every single time I watch it, I'm like, no, the fuck they didn't. it's just a great show. I've been watching, I was just watching music YouTube documentaries. Like
what?
Hold on 1 second. Let me look up the title.
Yeah.
Because this is a really good one. I don't want
to
share.
I swear to God, if you end up saying that, like, you're just watching this music documentary called Ozark, I'm going to be super pissed.
No, it's called Big Fun in the Big Town. It's a Dutch documentary about, like, rap in 1987.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, wait, they came to, like, New York?
Yeah, Dutch, like, dude came over with a camera and, like,
oh, yeah.
Went over to Russell Simmons' office, like, right when shit was just getting bubbling. It's a really, really, really good watch. Especially if you felt like doing something creative, you could watch that. And
yeah.
You'll be like, all right, I'll get back to work.
How are Russell's fits in the documentary?
You said what?
How are Russell's fits?
Oh, no, this was like, year two Russell Simmons. This
yeah,
was,
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Russell looked like he just rolled about the after hours.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, he had that look on his face for a while. Like, shit, I ain't been asleep yet.
Chuck, leading up to quarantine, were you playing gigs out in town, like, regularly? And did you have any sense that things would just, like, come to a sudden stop, that they wouldn't just, like, trickle out?
I got an interesting story, because I was in China in December.
Whoa.
A function for, like, Airwalk.
Whoa.
And it was around the time, it wasn't in Shanghai, but it was, like, around the other side of China, so people were already getting, like, hip to it, and the government was kind of, like, already stepping in, slowing certain shit down. So when I got back over here, right, a couple weeks before Christmas, my friends in China was like, hey, man, shit got fucking real over here. So I was already kind of hip to the fact,
holy,
like,
shit.
Oh, okay. So if they're about to start tripping, it's only a matter of time before we get to tripping. So I was just reading up on it. I got WeChat. My aunt lived in China for the past, like, 11 years. My
cousins
grew up there. So I got, like, that app that they converse through, and everything, like, shit, up until Christmas Day was like, hey, we're in the house. We can't leave the house. I was like, what the fuck? And lo and behold, you know, it came here. And I was just more ready than the rest of the people I was telling. They were like, this isn't real. And then two days before the NBA shut down, I was just telling everybody, like, man, you better go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
You better go to the grocery store. So, like, the last real day in L.A. was after I ran the L.A. Marathon. And, like, literally 2 days later, like, couldn't go back outside no more.
Wait, I have a million questions, but you ran the L.A. Marathon?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How was that?
Have you run marathons before?
Nah, that was my first one.
Okay, so you trained for, like, whatever, 6 months beforehand and, like, worked your way up?
I'm not even going to lie to you.
You trained for a day before?
No, I trained about, like, mentally, I was already ready. And I, in my head, I didn't want to go too far training. So, like, I didn't want to, like, train really hard, get to mile 18 and be like, bro, this shit sucks. I'll never do this.
No, of course. Yeah.
So I was just like, I have no clue what this territory looks like. let me like do this shit for real. So when I get to mile 18, I don't got no choice but to keep going.
Wow.
And for real, that shit, I mean, there's a physical aspect to a marathon, but that shit is literally 77% to 78% mental, unless you're trying to like break a time.
Were you running at the same pace as anybody else you knew, or were you just like in there solo?
I had a lot of people, but marathons is like, you could do it with people, but that shit is still on your own, man. Like, yeah. You try to keep up with people, you try to like, you know what I'm saying? You could burn out. So like, anybody that's ran a marathon knows, you get to like mile 18, you're like, damn, I did 18 miles, but you still got 8 more to go.
Well, how'd that shit feel when you passed the finish line?
It was better than like shit I used to do in sports, like when I was in high school.
And man,
I basically had control of my own destiny there, and my goal was to just, I wanted to run across the finish line. I didn't want to walk. I didn't want to like be hurt. So, shit, my picture when I took it when I crossed, I was still jogging. I was like, other than being sore from never ever walking 20 or running 20 miles or 26 miles before.
Yep.
It was one of those things, like an hour beforehand, that shit was terrible. Once I was done, I was like, I'm gonna do it again.
Wow.
Wow.
It's like one of those things.
But then like, to go from there to now being inside all the time must be like the
mind
most
fuck.
Yeah.
Mind fuck. To do like the most motivating thing of all time. And I had made a schedule for myself and shit. Like, I was getting in order. I'm not like a schedule person. I kind of just roll with what comes. But yeah. Like, I was about to write out breakfast, run during the day, like, you know, itemize my day type shit. Because I was like, shit, I ran a marathon. What else can I do? And then literally 3 days later, they're like, you can't do shit.
Man.
Figure it out. You ran a marathon one day, and then the next day you can't do shit for the next month.
Chuck, what do you hear back from the Midwest? Because, you know, Detroit and Chicago had become hotspots, and certainly a lot of people were suffering through this. What do you hear from back home?
It's terrible in Detroit. I know a family member of mine actually passed away from it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
2 days ago.
Damn.
You know, like, I got a situation where my parents have some pre-existing conditions that kind of, like, lead them vulnerable for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It's just one of those things you can be fearful about, but you just kind of got to let the chips fall where they lay and hope that the people that you care about just know how to stay out the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, between New York and Detroit, it just seems like they hit them the worst. I haven't really heard too much of the California issues.
Yeah.
Like that. California, LA hospitals aren't overwhelmed and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's saying that the West Coast has, like, handled it very, very well, and that, like, there's lessons to be learned from
Newsom and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if I could say one thing, yeah, like, that. Like, I lived in California because I always wanted to be in the sun and close to the beach and growing up being, like, a lowrider fan and all that shit. But, like, as it sunk in, it's just like, this state is expensive as fuck. But, like, when it comes down to it, like, people kind of get in line, and the powers that be are, like, rational. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They're not based in some kind of crazy fundamentalist shit where, you know, they're trying to send everybody to church on Sunday during Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
if anybody can see anything about, like, the life that we're headed towards, is that preacher that was like, no, God's going to protect me.
And then he died.
And
yeah.
And died the next day.
Crazy. Like,
you gotta have a better talk with God. Man,
well, maybe he's about to have that talk with God.
I don't think y'all was on the same page, bro.
He's about to talk to St. Peter at the gate and be like, hey, you know, I know somebody over there.
Yeah, man.
Front of the line.
Yeah.
So how are you, like, still being able to structure your day the way that you wanted to? Like, are you, like, still waking up with, like, a purpose, or is it just, like, I wake up and I just am figuring it out?
For the first 2 to 3 weeks, I was fighting air. I ain't gonna lie. I was just swinging on the air like Trey from Boys in the Hood.
But yeah.
Now, well, see what I did. What I did fucked up was I watched all my shows, and then I made like almost 11 beats a day, and then I got to a point where I was like, I don't even want to hear it. So I didn't have, you know, my activity that I usually do anymore. So I started cooking all my food.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm over that too. So besides like running and like just, you know, taking some sort of mental note that this isn't regular and I'm not tripping and just fuck it. If I just want to sit and watch TikTok for like 2 hours, I'm going to do that.
Have you because, have you learned to do the 2C slide?
Nah, I can't believe that shit, actually. and the worst part about it is the song is insanely catchy.
Oh, super catchy. So catchy. Yeah.
Super catchy. Wait. I feel like that was a scientific experiment, bro.
Yeah.
Well, it was created in a lab. So wait, so which is more contagious? The coronavirus or Drake's song?
Ouch.
Yeah.
They gotta go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the crazy thing about having like a popular song during this time is that once we get out of this shit, people not gonna associate it with a good time, so it ain't gonna really rock like that.
That is like, weird.
I already know that if I step out the house and I hear the Savage Challenge, I'm about to just leave. not because I don't like that song.
Yeah.
But because now I've been MK Ultra'd by that song, and every time I hear it, I'm like, man, shit sucks.
Yeah, but you also need to get off of TikTok. That's the real lesson.
No,
that comes
from this. It's not just on TikTok. You can't do shit without seeing somebody do a Savage Challenge. It was on Twitter or Instagram. I was reading some sort of like music news, and it was talking about who somebody else did the Savage Challenge again.
Yo, who's the Jeff? Who's the girl that we were talking to Jake One about? And his daughter is like in love with this girl,
JoJo Siwa.
Do you know JoJo Siwa?
Yes, I do.
Man, apparently,
that shit is crazy, man.
Yeah, she's a big deal.
Yeah, she was just made fun of on SNL.
Yeah.
Look, you can't predict what these kids are gonna like. That's the ill shit about it. Like, you know, you could try to groom a new star, but like that shit ain't gonna work. Because you'll look at some money on YouTube and be like, why are they so big? Oh, they're just unwrapping toys? That's fucking crazy. That's fucking crazy.
Chuck, have you found yourself watching more Instagram Live than maybe like actual TV?
I have. I tapped into a couple Instagram Lives. I think after the RZA and Primo, I was like, oh yeah, this is over with. Because that was like the best one I ever seen.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna get no better than that. Like,
I did see this
the
last night.
Community,
yeah, go ahead.
The invisible community that you could feel watching that shit, like that shit was dope.
Yeah.
Last night, I saw Swiss jumped into Ninth's Instagram Live, and he was like, "Yo, we got to do one where you actually cook up a beat. You get some samples, you cook one up, and then he's like, we're going to get Just Blaze to cook up samples. So you guys go back and forth. You get 5 minutes a piece and cook it up." And he was like negotiating right there in the live.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I don't know how that's going to flow.
I know.
Like, you would have to practice. Like, you would have to have your sample picked. You can't just like,
yeah,
to chop a sample and make it good in 5 minutes is almost like trying to run 10 miles in 5 minutes. Like, yeah. Certain shit needs pace. You know what I'm saying? But I'm interested in watching it.
For sure.
Yeah, like,
I really appreciate the creativity of, like, even the fucking Demon Time or Quarantine Radio.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
At least that shit was balanced. Like, if there was shit that, you know what I'm saying? That was,
yeah,
hella, like, ratchet, and then there was shit that was, like, hella informative. And as long as it's, like, having a TV, like, you could, you know what I'm saying, watch fucking Jackass, or you could watch CNN.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to Chuck's point about like making a beat in 5 minutes, I feel like you'd end up with like, remember when Cassidy was like producing,
oh,
and everybody just like went on him, and it's just like, it's like, oh, like this is all you can come up with in 5 minutes or whatever, and it's like, yeah, but it's really hard to do this in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Nah, look, check it out. Even though Cassidy, you know, took that one for the team.
Yep.
It's nobody that ever started making beats who shit didn't sound like that first, especially like back in the day.
Yeah.
Now you got clips, you know, people can use loops, all that shit. Like,
wait, so not everybody is like Ryan Leslie in that one clip, you know?
No. No. Like, you have to work to get to there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of shit I do now, but you know, in 2003, 2004, when like Fruity Loops just came out, you're making beats on like a Casio keyboard. Everybody's shit sound like Casio.
Yeah. Chuck, before we let you go, can you just say a few words about the unfortunate and tragic loss of China?
Yeah. Man, she was just amazing. And the crazy part about it is I was writing a movie. So I'm like writing a movie that I'm doing with a couple of my friends. And one of the main characters was based around her planet. Mm. So like when I was writing the script, like we were talking about it all the time. And like we didn't see each other much, but we talked a lot. And man, that's just crazy. She was just the shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what else much more to say, because it's like it's hard to explain something to people that didn't really know someone that well. But she just is. If you knew her, then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. The handful of times that we were around her here in the city, she was always a bright light. And
yeah, it's just like she got punched. Like she'll just say some shit. It'll be one sentence. You know what I'm saying? And it'll light up the room, or everybody get to laughing. You know, even if she had something critical to say something about some shit, like, you could feel it, you know what I mean? And it's just the talent was like, yeah, you could try to be like her, but she was definitely a one-on-one.
I mean, like, I want to know, like, what is it like to grieve in quarantine?
It's trash. It's more trash because, like, I don't know, man, I take life's lumps because they're not going to stop. So when people think like shit like this is not gonna happen, you know, everybody one day is gonna lose their parents, or you're gonna go first. Like there's shit that's gonna happen. So I'm not pessimistic, but I always live in a small little wave of adjust with it. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't control it. There's nothing you can do about it, and these things happen. When you know that someone's untimely like death happens, and you know, people can't go see her, or like there can't be, you know, a send off. Like that's a little bit harder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that people really like lack for community when you're, you know, it's a double edged thing, right? Because I think that more people reach out when there's nobody around them in the immediacy. But I also think that it's like you need that human contact of being able to hug somebody and like, you know, being able to like sort of melt in someone's arms.
Yeah,
you know?
We have a friend who lost her grandmother and had to attend a Zoom funeral, and that's just got to be.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to that.
Otherworldly, you know.
Well, that being said, it wasn't your family, so why would you go there anyway?
No, I mean, I'm saying, like,
you weren't even invited. Yo, like, imagine, why are you hating from outside the club? You can't even get in.
I didn't even get the password. Even if it was somebody I knew, it's just like, bro, what am I supposed to do? Sit in my computer chair with a suit on? What do I wear?
Yeah.
You know, the Zoom shit has really confused me as to like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, why are we 67 deep in this room?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even hear you talking.
Yeah, like I said, everything is bad.
Everything is bad, dude. I know, did you see that? Did you see about the guy that created a green screen of him? Or, like, he basically created the image, of looping image of him, so he could sit in his Zoom and never be there.
No.
That's the smartest thing I've heard.
That is great.
I only saw the one of the guy in the background interrupting, like opening a door behind him who was already sitting there.
Oh, that's great too.
Yeah.
This is the ingenuity we need, you know?
Yeah, we got it. We got it. If we were finding the right scientists, we can come out this bitch swinging, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Yo. Like, listen.
You gotta let the smart people go first.
Listen, Chuck, we love you. Take care of yourself out there. Stay indoors.
I love you guys.
As much as you
Thank
can. You, we'll be calling to check in, and until we see you the next time, be well, all right?
All right, man. You too.
Jeff, let's get on the phone now with Naomi Zeichner.
Hello.
Naomi!
Hey!
Hi.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. What's up, guys?
We're hanging in, you know? It's sort of day by day, moment by moment. How has your weekend differentiated from your weekday?
Ooh.
You know, this weekend, I actually feel like there was some significant delineation in that I walked to Bed-Stuy, which is 2 miles from my house.
Nice.
To go check in on my boyfriend's roommate, who's now there alone.
Nice.
And walk back. So it was like, took a whole trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, were you able to interact with the, with your, who is it? Sorry, your boyfriend's roommate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Because, you know, my boyfriend was there for a while. So since the beginning of this lockdown, the three of us have interacted only with each other. So yes, they are in the fam.
Okay, cool. Because like in my head, I was like, not a dog. I was like, just, right. Yeah.
They've left the dog behind.
Yeah.
And Naomi went 2 miles to feed the dog. This is going to be like, you know, when you tell your children one day, Naomi, you're going to be like, I used to walk 2 miles to go feed.
To bed, yeah. This motherfucker. I know. Exactly.
Naomi, how is your day structured during the week? Like, do you have a schedule that has kept things quote unquote normal?
So it's kind of interesting, right? Like I'm still working. I'm very grateful to still have a job that is actually, if anything, maybe even more busy right now than usual.
Yeah.
But you know, and also, so I work at YouTube and Google, and I work already across many offices. Like our team is an international team, and people are utilizing, or we sort of, it's been a part of my life in the 3 years that I've been in this job to use video conferencing every day. So it's really, it wasn't atypical before this that I would be on 6 to 10 video calls a day, let's say. So that's pretty much what I'm doing. I think my calls usually start in like the 10 o'clock hour and wrap up before 6.
Are you able to separate yourself for like a real lunch break?
So I just ate a sweet potato and I just squeezed in a call in the 2 minutes before we spoke. Very efficient, quick 2 minute call. And so yes and no. I mean, I think frankly, it's always been difficult for me to pause for meals during the day. I think it's just difficult for me to have a consistent routine and structure in general. And, you know, if there's, like, work to be done, I always just want to do it right that second. Or yeah, maybe then I forget it. So, we're eating good, you know, and...
And you're able to turn your brain off at the end of the day as well?
No. Oh. I don't know when I've ever been able to do that. I think something that I'm having a hard time with is, you know, at a platform like YouTube, obviously, I think we're working really hard and in some cases trying to fast track things that might otherwise take... longer, right, to really respond and make things cool for artists and our partners right now, right? And by cool, I mean like help them.
Yeah.
And so there's just like a lot going on at work, and I actually find that, you know, in my previous life I was a journalist and I was reading the news and reading the internet all day every day. Right now I'm not really able to do that at the same time that I work, so I find both like right when I wake up and then in the evenings and before I go to sleep that I really like, I want to know what's going on in the world. It's an important piece of being able to do my job well, but it takes like actual real time, right?
Yeah.
To spend time on social or to spend time reading the news. So I find that like I'm feeling like starved for those things. Like I need like almost like 2 hours at night to read news, but I just don't actually have that time. You know, and it's also really important to spend 2 hours at night like being present with my partner and enjoying our lives, because it's always important, but I think it's especially important right now. So it's definitely a struggle for me. When I used to work from home and was living alone, I like would often sort of like close laptop, put on podcast or something, and kind of like specifically really like listen to somebody else speak for a while. It's a little harder to do that with somebody else in the house.
Yeah. You know, everybody's talking about how podcast listening is down. Music listening is down. Are YouTube's numbers also down, or is it just like going up because everybody is just watching like short form content?
So my understanding, right, is that with music specifically, passive consumption is down, right? So every playlist on in the background of a restaurant or the radio in people's cars, podcast people listen to on their commutes and stuff, gym playlists, like all of that is down, but that active consumption, kind of people searching for things, is actually up, right? Which is in general, I think, less of a common behavior than people think, right? So much of music listening is happening kind of passively. So that's interesting. And then I think on YouTube, we've seen like a real spike in a bunch of different specific content verticals, right? Like meditation, yoga, cooking, praying. I think people are using, like, need YouTube now in sort of not necessarily new ways, but just have a more acute need for specific types of content than ever. And we're seeing a lot of that. And of course, right, on the music side, like live performance and people sort of finding new ways to share, whether that's like archival concert footage, right? Like bands like Metallica and Radiohead have been like unleashing a ton of archival content, like, and that people are going crazy, right? Artists in Brazil are seeing 3 million concurrents on live streams for performances.
Wow.
But also like tiny baby artists you've never heard of are uploading really amazing, arresting stuff like from their bedrooms, or figuring out how to make music videos over, you know, Hangouts or whatever. Like, I think we're seeing a lot of really interesting content. And this is what I'm talking about, that like 2 hours at night that I don't have. Like, for me, like, I just want to huff this shit. Like, I want to understand how people are figuring out these problems so that I can try to share good ideas with other people. But it takes time. So it's hard to take it all in.
Yeah, we have dedicated a half an hour every day to doing yoga with Adrian, who is huge on YouTube. Yeah,
and it's yoga with Adrian.
It's been fantastic. And shout out to Adrian and everybody who
millions and millions
of people who are doing it as well.
Yeah,
Naomi, we've known you for a long time, and a lot of our favorite interactions have been in the live music space. You know, we've been to festivals together, we've been to concerts together. Knowing now that a lot of venues are afraid to, you know, take on liability for what may be a year and a half moving forward now, and certainly festivals are not going to happen, and live performances are, like you said, changing to more of the digital space, what are you going to miss most about the festivals and the live performance area?
I mean, I think on the first thing that just like breaks my heart and makes me feel so crushed, right, is what is that experience just for the artist, right? It's the foundation of their revenue. So when you think about, you know, I think about artists as humans, right? And like they're losing a significant portion of their job, no matter how amazing they're still doing at creating content and creating music. So that breaks my heart. And I think, right, what touring is for so many artists is a way to grow, right? They sort of, also for their songs to grow, to really like get feedback and understand what their fans need and build that relationship and like grow as an artist. So I miss like seeing that happen and people doing that and getting to see people's new visuals or how they perform a song or how their stage banter is going at that point. Like that's what I like going to concerts to see, to just sort of learn about where an artist is at. But I think also, right, like you're saying, I you know, one of the ways I got to know you guys was bumping into you at various things in New York, and whether that was like a listening session or a live show or whatever. And I think the music industry is so based on relationships and networking, and that's how you meet new people. And, you know, sometimes somebody that you met out, you know, for 5 minutes, you know, 3 years later you figure out a way you might work together, and it can be life-changing for you both. So I think and that's not just if you're sort of on the come up, right? It's also for established people who sort of need to meet new people all the time to plug into different opportunities and to learn from. So I just think, like, not necessarily for me personally, but just at large, like, I think about all of the connections that won't be made, and that's really tough.
You know, we're doing this episode with both Chuck English and Asher Roth, as well as you. And so we were wondering if there's any stories you have about the cool kids and or about Asher. You know, you were a music journalist. Like you said, you were the editor of Fader for a very long time. So I wonder if you have any stories about them.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, it's just an honor to be featured next to Asher Roth. So I don't think I've ever met Asher, but I was in college when I Love College was out. So I feel like we're like a part of the same sort of like rock layer of the internet. And, you know, I'm thinking a lot about college right now because I'm thinking a lot about the last recession. And like, I feel like the last time I felt like this in my life and that my friends felt like this in our lives was when we were about to graduate in 2008. And it was just super unclear, like, if jobs would ever be available, if we would ever be able to have homes or families. And, you know, I'm feeling that. I think a lot of people are feeling that way right now. It's like a really like existential crisis moment. So shout out to Asher Roth for being there then and now. And for the cool kids, I mean, the cool kids were a cornerstone classic. If any, you know, Fader was connected to the marketing agency side of Fader was called Cornerstone, and they worked with the cool kids. But one time when I worked at BuzzFeed in 2014, when I was at BuzzFeed, I was like, okay, they want me to do lists. I want to interview rappers. Let's do lists, but they're just like, the content of them is just told by artists. So I did a list with Sir Michael Rocks about exotic animals that he liked. So shout out to him for that. And actually, you're watching Tiger King.
Yeah.
I was thinking about him. I was like, man, like exotic animals really like they, you know, they get people. And when you get into it, you get into it. So
wait, not to spoil the list, but what was number one?
I don't remember. I feel like he was. It was all little stuff, like flying squirrels was like the vibe. And I forget exactly. It wasn't like these are my favorite. It was like things you need to know about. I don't really remember. Yeah.
Naomi, are you somebody who falls into, you know, watching something like The Tiger King because it is the center of conversation, or are you just like perusing, you know, Netflix and it sort of like ends up right on your screen?
You know, I wanna enjoy myself and like have time where I'm not thinking really actively, just like everybody else. But I actually find, so that's what I'm trying to do when I'm watching stuff. But I've found that like even Tiger King, I actually like didn't finish it. Like I've been having a hard time enjoying binging shows right now, and for whatever reason, it's weird, right? Because we all have like, I guess, more time than usual, but it just feels like actually, like there's so many new things to worry about, and like getting food into my house is a much more laborious and like taking up more space than it ever has. And
yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm just not like, I haven't had a Saturday where I'm spending 5 hours watching something. But I have been with the show that's really been like what I've been watching the most is old episodes of Top Chef.
Oh.
Which is weird. And I mean, I've always liked that show. And actually, I was on a Zoom birthday where somebody else said that they were watching Top Chef. And I was like, bet. And I've been watching tons of Top Chef. And what else?
Episodes you've seen before, or you're watching it for the first time?
So I think I've seen all the seasons. There's a new season on right now, so I've been watching that. But I've been watching an old season that I definitely watched when it was out. But it's like all old television, really fascinating to watch back something that was on TV just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
In like a pre-Me Too world, there's like definitely like creepiness that would totally be cut out now that's like not being cut out, and you're like, whoa. So that's interesting.
I also get freaked out whenever I see people who are close to each other on TV
or touching their face.
I'm just like, no, like you can't put on a mask.
Yeah.
One of the early, or like the last debate that Bernie and Biden did, which was sort of, I had already been in my house for like a week or two, where they were asked about COVID. Like Biden was like, you know, just don't touch my face. I'm like, while answering the question, was touching his face. I was just like, ah, it's hard. And obviously being on all these video calls, you know, people touch their faces.
Yeah. Have you been ordering anything on Amazon? Have you been waiting for anything on Amazon?
You know, I try to avoid ordering things on Amazon in general.
Wow.
To be totally honest, like
shop local.
You know, I don't believe in abuse. Like, well, I don't. Man, I should fall back for a second, but I don't.
But also agree. I agree, Naomi.
I would love them to treat their workers better.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially at this time, and salute to every Amazon worker. But yeah, no, I in general also, and I don't, it's not even like a political, like ethical thing, but I just really prefer to buy the shit I need. It's just like, I feel like we live in New York. I try to like live within my means, and I just prefer to touch something before I buy it. That's a sickness that I have. So we have been ordering, though, my boyfriend eats like a lot more protein than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So he is ordering meat off Mercado from like a halal butcher in South Brooklyn. So we've been doing that. I think now's a good time to team up with people on buying anything, right? And trying to kind of like just minimize how many people need to move around for any reason.
You've also become an aunt recently, and you have not been able to
visit said child.
Yeah, see.
Correct. Yeah. So
that's gotta be weird.
It's super weird. I feel very blessed in this last year of my life. I have three babies that have entered my life in this season. It's actually really been interesting, right, to like watch all the three different pregnancies over the three different courses of this lockdown. So my brother's wife just had a baby, my little brother, and, you know, pretty stressful situation, even though where they live in Athens, Georgia, the situation is pretty calm. And the baby's name is Yossi. It's very cute. Mm. My dad, you know, my parents are in their 60s, 70s, and it's been difficult to try to keep them in the house. And my dad went, they did a bris, but now the word has come down from the pediatrician that my parents cannot touch the baby. Mm. And I'm trying to also just get my parents to stop going to my little brother's house in general. But, you know, so my dad is upset. It minimizes the simcha of the beauty of the baby being born that I can't interact with it. And I had to sort of gently remind him, like, Abba, like, I feel you, but also, like, remember that, like, it's completely TBD if I'll meet this baby in its first year of life. Like, just, you know, like,
that's
when you
crazy
talk to me,
to remember, say.
Remember that. Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, like,
that's the world we live in. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the world we live in. And like I said, I've been for the last 3 years getting to know people over video conference. Like some of the projects that I work on at YouTube, I work with people in Japan and in India, right? And like these are people who I've had the pleasure to meet in person, but who really we formed our entire relationships online. So not to say that like it's fine and that's the best way to do it, but I feel lucky to have a precedent for knowing that there is a way to kind of like collaborate and like create affinities for people and get to know each other even when you're not there.
Yeah.
So
what gives you hope when you wake up each morning?
Oh man.
Yeah, what a question from Eric.
This is a confusing time, right? I'll say this. At the beginning of this year, I was lucky enough to take a bit of time off work and felt like, you know, I had some space to really think about where I wanted this year to go. And, you know, I've mentioned a couple of times my partner, Sam, who, you know, I feel like we haven't lived together and we made a plan to live together and made a plan to buy an apartment in New York. And, you know, like I said, I graduated college in 2009 at the peak of the recession. I've been working my ass off since I was in high school to make money and be financially secure. And so I was like really excited to, you know, kind of just like begin, like take all that time and all that work and begin this new chapter where we would live together and we could have our own home in New York City. So I actually, like I've been in the process of buying an apartment this year. And obviously that process is like a whole different ride now.
Yeah.
But we are moving in June.
Oh my God.
Is the plan. So yeah, and I mean, I don't know if that gives me hope every morning. I think when I wake up and think about this move, it gives me a lot of anxiety, but I still feel, you know, like I've had a lot of conversations with my real estate broker in this last month, and, you know, she sort of said to me, like, is the plan to live in New York or is the plan to like completely uproot your life? Like you still work at your job, like what, you know, like this crisis for some people is a valid reason to completely change the course of your life. But like, where are you at? And like, the truth is, right, I'm super lucky that the course of my life and my intention in this time is to continue to be a citizen of New York. Like I love this place so much. And knowing that there's like another side of this where we get to like redo the floors in the apartment we own and knowing that, you know, I'm going to be a citizen of Brooklyn for more time and that I have the opportunity to get to know new neighbors. Like, I know it sounds like I'm being fully out of pocket right now, but like it makes me feel good. And that's what I've been working for, you know, that's the intention.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Bieber. So, so yeah, like that's
beautiful.
That's where I'm headed. You know, that's what I'm pushing towards right now.
Naomi, we love you. Take care of yourself. Take care of Sam and
Sam's roommate.
And Sam's roommate.
Yeah, shout out to Angela.
Naomi, take care of yourself. Stay healthy. Stay inside as much as you can. And we'll be checking in. All right.
Love you guys. Bye. Right,
bye. Jeff, let's get on the phone now with Asher Roth.
Hello.
Asher!
What up?
Gentlemen.
What's happening?
How goes it?
You know what? All things considered, I think we're doing pretty okay. We're staying inside, we're staying busy, and we're staying sane, you know?
You got each other.
We do.
Yeah.
And I mean,
who's in your house?
Well, my lady's here now.
Shout out to her. Yeah.
Yeah. Megan's here. And, you know, I kind of live in not so much a commune, but like the place that I live in has three apartments. So, and it's like an old building. So we pretty much all live together. So there's trust, though. There's trust. So I can't be mad.
Are you doing a lot of cooking these days?
I am. I'm doing actually more dishes.
Okay.
I'm more on the dishes side.
You're a team player. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's just kind of how it goes. So I do the dishes, but Megan's been holding it down. A lot of nachos.
Mm.
A lot of like chicken wings. The good news is I live down the street from a grocery store.
That is so really good news.
Very convenient for us. But yeah, for the most part, Megan's been doing the cooking, holding it down. I'll kind of tap in on like for breakfast. You know, I'm kind of a breakfast guy.
Sure.
But when things get real, like when we start talking about like
an actual meal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. my sisters, there's like a pot, a special pot that everyone's been talking about recently. I think it was like a hot holiday gift too.
Oh, like a La Crusette sort of like Dutch oven sort of situation.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's like is it called the hot pot or something?
There's a hot pot. There's a crock pot. There's all different types of pots.
Yeah, yeah. It's like those are things that you can kind of just throw stuff in and be cool with it. But yeah, for the most part, I'm trying to. I just hold up my end of the bargain with the dishes.
You know,
have you guys been cooking?
We have, yes, three meals a day for as long as this has been in effect. But yeah, we are, you know, we're lucky over here to have a 24-hour grocery store just, you know, a couple blocks away. So for us to be shopping at midnight, that is really like a luxury that we have, and not run into people, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
we stock up, we come back at, you know, 12:30 in the morning, and then we have enough groceries for the next week. So we're working, you know?
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Quick shout out to Cousins Grocery Store right here in Philadelphia, holding it down, helping me out and a lot of people in North Philadelphia.
Yo,
so
that's,
shout out to Cousins.
That's real, because I think that another thing that's come out of this whole thing is the appreciation for those people who are working as cashiers or loading in, you know, and stocking shelves and actually like doing the work that maybe 4 months ago people would have just sort of like, you
forgotten.
Know, forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, obviously we're seeing things like social distancing in lines and stuff. And it was funny because, like, you know, a lot of the thing about entering social programs into the United States was like, well, you're going to have to wait in lines. You know, I was like,
yeah.
Well, here we are anyway.
Yeah.
Asher, you're talking about like nachos and you're talking about wings. How much weight have you gained in quarantine?
You know, not as much. I've been doing the jump rope side of things.
Oh, the jump rope challenge.
Yeah, is there a jump rope challenge?
I don't know. I feel like you just started it off.
Yeah.
Oh, we can start it off. It's funny though, because like some people really take it seriously. I set my timers for like 8 minutes. It's like,
hey man, whatever keeps the weight off and keeps you busy and keeps you like, you know, staying focused, then that's all fine.
Helps. And you know, for the most part, I have decently healthy routines in the morning from the jump. So, and I'm just a lean guy in general. So,
yeah.
Well, I only get that little pouch, that little kangaroo pouch around the belly, and it's just like, okay, this is when I need to start kind of moving my body. But yeah, I mean, like, I definitely need to take it a little bit more seriously. Not in regards to being like disrespectful or anything, but like the good news is being kind of in the music world and not really on tour or anything, it's like it hasn't completely affected my life. So, you know, for the most part, I was only doing dishes and making rap songs before this started anyway.
Well, okay. So on that, you do have a new project that comes out on the 23rd, but that means,
yep.
I believe, that this has been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
How did you sort of envision this in a perfect world dropping, and how did it change since everyone has been sort of forced to stay local?
So in a perfect world, there was going to be this pandemic that hits America and shuts down major labels. But no, yeah, I moved back to Philly in 2016. I'm not sure if the last time we spoke, I know it was in Los Angeles,
yeah.
But I'm not sure if I was in Philly yet.
Yeah.
So
I think maybe.
Yeah, I think I was kind of traveling. So moved back to Philly, and, you know, it's been always kind of a goal of mine to make a record in Philadelphia. And, you know, I know a lot of your listeners are familiar with the story, but, you know, I essentially started in Atlanta
mm-hmm.
when it came down to it. So I did Atlanta, New York, and LA. And so when I moved back to Philly, the main goal was to record here. And, you know, having the experience that I had and some of the friends that I had, I was like, oh, I'm going to hit the ground running. Like, we can get right to it. But it really took a while. And then I ended up just through a couple friends, my buddy CJ. I found a buddy, Rob Deckhart, who ended up, he was a couple grades below me, but went to high school with him and everything. And he's just, he's a real whiz. And just him and I are influenced by the same things. And he even kind of brought some stuff. Like, we were listening to a bunch of like Roger Miller and some more Americana country stuff, some of the folk stuff. And that had a lot of not hard influence, but just as far as songwriting is concerned. And just those sessions of being able to hang with him, talk music, kick around some of the stuff, bring up like, you know, Common's like Water for Chocolate album, talk about how big that was for us. And he and I just worked together specifically on this record. So it's completely produced by him, which is very nice from a cohesion standpoint.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, it's just like it's something I'm pretty excited about. But again, those sessions were so, you know, they're in basically the forests of Fairless Hills. And maybe sometimes people would bop in on us. But for the most part, it was just him and myself. So again, not much has totally changed.
I think that a ton of our audience grew up in the blog era. And on this episode, by the way, in addition to you, is Chuck English of the Cool Kids. And I think that people, you know, hold that era and that time very close to their heart, whether they were making the music, whether they were hosting the websites, or if they were in the comments section. What did the blogs and that blog era mean to you?
Wow, what did the blog era mean to me? So for me, it's like, what's strange about it and even getting to where I am now is like, we didn't even realize what was going on then. It was just happening, right? And so a lot of people kind of talk about, you know, what would you have done differently? And even to certain respects, I'll watch old shows and I'm just like up there screaming with like, you know, just like terrible performances. And there's a beauty in that because we didn't even know. And I think now that we've gotten so far down the path of the internet, and this isn't always the case, but for someone like myself, I might be more reluctant to share some things. Whereas during the blog era, you know, putting out music that when you re-listen to it, it's like terribly mixed. But there was such a great time about that. We were just kind of sharing stuff, and it just happened to be getting picked up on blogs. And there were people, early adopters such as yourself and, you know, some of the Two Dope Boys and guys that are still around. I mean, again, I think they didn't even really know what they were doing or the influence that they really had. And I think sometimes when you get privy to actually what's happening, it might impact your behavior. So for me, I'm just trying to get back to that kind of blog era mentality of just like, let's just do it. Let's just kind of go for it. And, you know, Chuck's kind of the same way where, and maybe this quarantine's getting people back to it of just kind of creating and not overthinking. And obviously there's a fine line between kind of oversharing.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's just, that was such a cool time, like this pioneering time. And I think that we're entering into a new one where hopefully there's some really cool innovation happening. Like, I'm really looking at ways to, given the fact that I'm not being shut down and I don't have to ask for a bunch of permission from major labels or things, I can kind of move forward on April 23rd with a record.
I think that's the best.
Absolutely. But then, what, you know, we typically promote it via tour. And so now I've got to explore a nice little digital tour. And we've really been having some fun and really interesting conversations recently on how to make that a reality. So I hope, just like the blog era, some real innovation and some cool stuff comes out of this time.
Yeah, I think the most like innovative stuff comes when your back is against the wall and like you have no like actual money coming in. There's just like all you have is your imagination. And so I think that it's going to be interesting to see like how, when you take away the idea of hanging out with people or you take away the idea of being able to go outside, like very basic things, it's just like, okay, well, how do you work around that? Like, you know, and you end up with sort of like one of those not Top Chef or maybe like Project Runway sort of challenges where it's like, hey, you have to make a dress out of aluminum foil and like a stapler and like, you know, a horse's head. And it's like, all right, you know.
And it gets done. And it happens.
Yeah. So
it's I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Asher, it's funny. Just yesterday, I saw that Don Cannon put up, or he got tagged in a throwback, and he shouted you out from your guys' days back in Atlanta. You're a Philly guy. You've spent time in the West Coast, but what did Atlanta really mean to you?
Well, I think Atlanta really showed me the game and like how it works and how to work. Late night studio sessions and stuff like that. It wasn't necessarily that wasn't happening in Philadelphia, but it was just, again, when and where. So when I got to Atlanta and I'm, I guess probably 21. Yeah, I'm just getting into it and I'm wide-eyed. So Atlanta really showed me the game and, the game within the game as well, developing relationships. I mean, that's just as important. I mean, I don't have a publicist. And what's amazing is that I can sit here and talk to you guys, and that's because there's a relationship there,
yeah. Yeah.
And Atlanta kind of taught me that as well. I think obviously some of the major cities, you guys have learned that in New York, that yeah. cultivating healthy relationships is probably the most important part of this game, especially when something like this happens and things get shut down and you can't just, throw a bunch of money at something and fix it. It really comes down to kind of the people you know and have developed these relationships with. So, I mean, that's some life shit, but that's also just, getting into Atlanta and seeing how people were operating. There's such a community down there, and that's why you've seen Atlanta be able to thrive. It's because it's people supporting people.
But also, I mean, like, artists are like the most insulated of the whole, food chain within all
totally.
Of this. And so, like, talk about the relationships that you do have. I mean, like, we have a relationship because, like, because you were on our podcast, 5 years ago or whatever. But before that, we didn't have a personal relationship. So, like,
right.
How easy is it for you to reach out to people and to, like, basically do all the work that there used to be other people for?
It's not easy. It's much more rewarding, but it's not easy at all. And considering it's, like, they end up being kind of convenient relationships, right? Like I do something for you, you do something for me, which isn't necessarily how real relationships work, let me try to go back on the question. It's like what's been hard for me is like kind of breaking those two things apart and being like this is work and just kind of having that transactional relationship. And for the most part, I shy away from those things and mm-hmm. I'm not very, very good at them. So
yeah.
it's been really hard for me. And what's amazing is if you look at the features on my record, it's like Yachty, who shouted me out like 3 or 4 times on record. So I had to hit him up. I was like, yo, dude, like, this is amazing. Like once I heard Cat Piss, I was like, oh bro, like this is amazing. Like what's up?
Yeah.
It's Buddy, who I've worked with a million times.
Love him. Yep.
In LA.
Yeah.
It's Joyce Rice, who's super homie from LA. It's Logi, who's the super homie from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then you've got Gabby Duran, who is, with Chuck. And I didn't even know she was an artist. Like her and I are hanging out, making mushroom tea, having a blast. And, Chuck is one of my really close friends, so I send him a lot of stuff like, yo, what do you think about this? Or who do you hear on this, et cetera, et cetera. And he was like, yo, you need to put Gabby on this. And she sent her vocals back, and it was amazing. So, long-winded answer, but I really shy away from those transactional relationships of like, I only hang out with you because you do something for me. And unfortunately, that quote-unquote kind of political side of things makes a lot of this stuff run. So it's been hard for me, but I think it's much more rewarding because the people in my life, like, I care about.
Yeah, like
I love
there's
them,
you genuinely fuck with them. Yeah,
yeah. I think that we found this too, and it sounds like you're in this space as well, where when you do something, it's not necessarily for the money. You know, we had this conversation. We're not getting any money off of this. You're having, your album's going to come out. That will make money, but you're not doing it just for the money. It's out of the love. It's because you care about it and because you want to put your voice out there. Same thing with what we do over here. And I think that in these crazy times where a lot of people are really investigating what capitalism is and what like a dollar really, can mean or whatever, people are, especially artists, now figuring out how much they really love their art. And I think it's refreshing to be able to put something out there, know that it stands for something and can have long legs, rather than just cash in on, you know, a one single or one movement or one sort of like TikTok or feeling, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, you've seen it. You guys have been doing this for a really long time. And like, when things like this happen, and you're scrolling on the internet, and then suddenly everybody's doing kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, we saw it with the podcast stuff. It's like the kind of the joke of everybody's got a podcast and stuff. And it makes you feel like you're missing out. Like, oh, maybe I should be doing something. And like, it's very easy to kind of buy into that feeling or go chase that feeling of like, oh, I'm missing out. I need to be streaming. I need to be get on IG Live. I need to be doing this because everybody else is, etc. But I think the cool thing about this album that I'm about to release, and just in general with the music that I make, is I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah.
So like, if it makes any money or generates any buzz or anybody cares about it, it's a plus. But like, it's been a lot of fun to make. I'm really happy to be doing it at home. Obviously, having guys like you support it and other people, it's just like, you know, we're floating in the same solar system and atmosphere, obviously, since that like blogosphere for a decade now. So it's like, you guys have been able to, I know, probably witnessing what I was doing 10 years ago and being able to see it now, that's like a real perspective. And if we get some new fans, then we get some new fans.
Oh man, we love stories like yours because you know, it's about resilience, it's about growth, it's about adapting to your environment, and I think all three of those things are in play certainly right now as well. So your album is going to be available on all streaming platforms, I'm assuming?
It is, yep.
And retrohash.com?
Yeah, retrohash.com. And you know, right now we're exploring you know, live at Retrohash, which is going to be the digital tour, and hopefully we can do that in May.
Love that. That's super dope. Yeah. Well, listen, Asher, we love you. Stay safe out there. Keep up the amazing creativity and the amazing attitude, and we'll be checking in, all right?
I appreciate you as always. Tell Chuck English I said what up. I'm sure that him and I are going to have an EP on the way too. That's usually a summertime thing.
Love that. Yeah, keep that going. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Asher, be well, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Peace.
Shout out to Asher Roth, shout out to Naomi Zeichner, and shout out to Chuck English. Jeff, are we back tomorrow?
You're back every day forever.
As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.